I was telling one of my homegirls after I came back from the gym, I was like, you know what, I'll holler at you later. I got to take a shower and get ready for this Frocast. And take a shower, get ready for the Frocast, get dressed, all that good shit. And she was like, oh, y'all do it on Skype with video? And I was like, nah, it's just, you know, me and my nigga on the damn call. She was like, oh, well, why you getting dressed for that? I said, I ain't finna talk to my nigga naked or in some drawers. What kind of shit? Man, women be on some other shit, man. Yeah. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I mean, it's just a manly thing, bro. You just can't sit around.
Sit around in your drawers or in the buff talking to your nigga about some shit on the phone, man. What the fuck? Yeah, I was like, man, you know what? Your ass is on hold for at least 2 days on that bullshit. I can't talk to you right now.
NappyAfro.com. We are the champions, my friend.
An MVP regular season with a magnificent playoff run and an extraordinary performance in the finals. No doubt he'll be named the finals MVP. We'll get it official coming up in a little bit as the shot clock is turned off. The Miami Heat are once again NBA champions. LeBron James captures that elusive title he so desperately coveted.
Yes, sir. You know what it is. Episode 35 is the most epic episode in Frocast history. I'm your man, Saul Ray, a.k.a. the motherfucking champion, bitch. Sitting here with the homie, back from a vacation. My boy, the MVP of the Frocast, King Germ. What's good, bro?
Hey, what's going on, man? It's your boy, King Germ, a.k.a. good job, good effort, kid. I'm back, man. I had a little, I had to take care of some family business, but you know, man, I'm back, man. I just want to say I'm doing the show in honor of my granddad, man. He passed away, but he was a good man, man. So, you know, this is for you, granddaddy.
Shout out to granddad. Shout out to the royal family, and shout out to the Miami Heat and LeBron James. Nigga, my brother will never listen to this show, but I've been taking shit from my brother since LeBron got in the league. This nigga been saying LeBron ain't shit. So, the night that the motherfucking championship happens, I call this nigga. Mind you, I've talked to him every other night of the playoffs. He's called me to bitch about the refs every fucking night. I call him the night of the championship. This nigga don't answer the phone.
Of course not, man.
I haven't heard from this nigga since. Do you hear me? This ass nigga. Hey, I'm getting my jersey, nigga. I know you never hear this shit, but I'm getting my jersey. And it's going to say nappyafro.com on the back. I want my shit. Shout out to my boy. Finally got the job done. The Miami Heat are the champions, like I told you, motherfuckers. And I'm hyped. I'm happy, man. I gave you a shot to get back on the bandwagon. You didn't take it.
I mean, this is my thing. Like I said, I'm glad to see LeBron get a title. I mean, just being a basketball fan, you know, anybody that root against LeBron winning a title is a fucking, you know, you're a hater at this point. Because, I mean, it just, if you like basketball, how can you not want to see, you know, one of the best not get a ring? I mean, that's stupid. You'd rather see a dude like Robert Horry get 7 and LeBron get none? I mean, what kind of bullshit is that? But anyway, I mean, LeBron, it was just like something that paced the series, man. He just clicked. And then he just went crazy, man. I mean, you know, bath salt LeBron, man. I mean, he was on another level, man. He just, you know, I was just like, yo, man, LeBron, he won it. I mean, he deserves it, man. The public beating that he took, you know, verbally, internet, all that bullshit for the past year. I mean, it got to feel good to him. I mean, you talked about the man hairline, talked about man mama, talked about everything he did, him biting his fingers, him missing free throws, not showing up in the fourth quarter. I mean, it's just like he's vindicated. I mean, and, you know, all hell LeBron, man, King James now. I mean, nobody can hate him. He's unhateable. I mean, you just can't. I still don't like that fuck nigga Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade, you're a fuck nigga. I still don't like you. But everybody else, man, hey, man, you know, weird thing, man. I was just coming through Atlanta, you know, yesterday. I was coming through Atlanta listening to V103. They like, V103 wants to congratulate the Miami Heat for the NBA championship. And I'm like, what the fuck? I mean, it's not like Atlanta don't have a pro basketball team there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking, like, why are y'all congratulating the Heat? You know, that shit was weird to me. So, V103, you got some explaining to do. If anybody and listen to the broadcast, you know, work at V103, know somebody at V103, ask him, why are they congratulating the Miami Heat? I mean, if I was a Hawk fan, I would feel disrespected. But, you know, that's another story for another day. But, yeah, all hell the Heat, man. They did it. I told everybody I was going to do it. If you, excuse me, go back and review the tapes, I said, you know, for them to get there the first year, they weren't going to win it. But the second year, they was. So, you know, but, you know, it was a good series, man. All hell the Heat, man.
This is true. You did call it. Even though you wasn't rooting for them to win, you did.
I wasn't rooting for because it's something about Dwayne Wade, man. If they get rid of him, man, I might jump on the wagon. But you got to get rid of that fuck nigga Dwayne Wade.
That nigga ain't going nowhere, dog. If anything, they might trade Chalmers. I think Chalmers is the one that they got to move, if anybody. And they need to move motherfucking Mike Miller. I'm sorry. Them niggas making too much money, man.
Mike Miller's retiring, isn't he?
He said that if his back doesn't require surgery, he wants to come back. And he's due for 18.5 over the next three seasons.
And let me tell you, man, Mike Miller had the greatest game 7 of any player. He should retire. Like I said on Twitter, he will have the greatest, like, yeah, look at daddy's last game tape. I mean, ever. Like, he was 7 for 7 or something started out. And, I mean, he's just,
that's how
he was leaving. He was jumping. He was like Super Dave out there, man. He was everywhere. He was just like, his back was hurting, but he was jumping everywhere. You know, and then, you know, Mike Miller is a Gator. So, you know, go Gators. you know, got two Gators out there, Haslam and Mike Miller. So,
you got to call him by his official nickname.
What is that?
Green Light. Because that motherfucker green got light. The ball and he was shooting like it was a green light. Every time he got the ball, he was pulling up.
That's what they bought him there for, man. Remember, that's what they was like saying. Hey, when Mike Miller gets healthy, they have a perimeter shooter. And that's what that, you know, that's what they bought him there for, man. And, you know, the Heat, man, they're champions, man. I mean, celebrate, man. LeBron, man, I had to dump all my LeBron GIFs off the computer the other day. You know, I did it. You know, I got rid of all of them. I mean,
it's over. There's no more fourth quarter jokes. Man. There's no more ringless jokes. It's over. It's over.
And there was some good ones in there, man. It was some dandy ones in there, man. I hate to delete all of them, but, you know, hey.
I did hear a good one after the game. I still want to slap the shit out of them. They said it's a picture of LeBron and Kobe, and LeBron's looking at Kobe, and he said, why didn't you answer my call? And Kobe said, I'm sorry, I only heard one ring. But shit, he still got his ring, and one of my homegirls on Facebook was like, will Kevin Durant still get his ring quicker than LeBron got his? I said, shut up. I don't want to hear how good Kevin Durant is. This is LeBron's time. Just let the nigga have his moment.
Speaking of Kevin Durant, I have a problem with, like I said, the only move that the Oklahoma City Thunder need to make in the offseason is moving Kevin Durant's mother out of his house. Because he can't... I'm sorry. I mean, that's the only move they need to make. Get rid of Kevin. Say, look, mama, you can't live in the house with me. You baby me too much, and I can't be a stone-cold killer on the court with my mama walking around the house. I just can't do it. You don't run your own house, so how are you going to be the man on the court?
But he's been the man on the court. Like, what are you talking
about?
Nah,
man.
He's crying after the game. Is that what this is
about? I was going to get to that. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're going to be a killer on the court, you know, you see how LeBron, like, you see how he deal with his mama? He told his mama to sit. He said, shut the fuck up and sit down. I mean, that's how you do your mama. Like, yo, LeBron run his, you know, his mama, she know what's going on. She used to be one of them people, and now LeBron stopped all that. But Kevin Durant, his mama, he a baby boy. You know what I'm saying? It's just like when he went off crying in his mama arms, and everybody like, oh, that was so sweet. Nah, man, man. I'm not a fan of the public crying, man.
Can't cry?
You can cry in the locker room.
I mean, he was on his way to the locker room. The cameras was everywhere.
Nah, you wait till you in that locker room. That door shut, nigga. You know, I want ABC. They had cameras in the hallway. You should have known that. You cry in the shower or something. Like, you know, people got on me about Tim Tebow crying. So I feel like I have to get on Kevin Durant for him crying. And he was crying in his mama's arms. How pussy is that?
But did you defend Tebow crying?
I defended him to a point to saying that he was one of the best to ever do it, and that was his last game, and he just wanted to have an undefeated season, win the title. You know what I'm saying? That was just, you know, so he left it all on the field. Like, I can't say nothing bad about that man. That man played with a concussion. He did everything. It was just, you know, Tim Tebow was the ultimate warrior, man. So, yes, I defended him. He was the ultimate warrior.
Okay, but you're going to give Kevin Durant slack for finally making it to the finals. Finally Tim putting Tebow out the best effort and losing in the finals.
He didn't put out his best effort.
Kevin Durant didn't put out his best effort?
Because it was a guy named LeBron James D'ing him up that wasn't allowing him to see the light of day.
But that doesn't mean he didn't try harder. I mean, that doesn't mean he didn't put out his best
fight.
Effort.
You got to fight, man. I don't think. But first of all, let me stop by saying I'm not doubting that the man didn't do his best. I'm pretty sure Kevin Durant gave it his best. But a Tim Tebow effort. Tim Tebow was a champion going for a back. It was a different story, different scenario with him crying than Kevin Durant crying. That's all I'm saying. You know.
So you give Tebow credit for crying in college, Durant Kevin, crying in the pros.
Oh, no. Especially in the pros, man. You don't cry, man. You don't cry in the pros, man. That's something you don't see. You know, Michael Jordan cry in the locker room, his daddy, everything about him winning the title after his daddy died, blah, 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 blah. That was different, but he was in the locker room. But on the court, crying in the pros, whew, that's big. That's big. That's real. That's sketchy.
I bet you Kevin Durant went to the hotel after that game and fucked about 3-4 bitches.
No, that nigga went tears. Home. This nigga went home. His mama tucked him in the bed. He put his little bear beside him. She tucked him in. She kissed him on his forehead. She read him a book, some Dr. Seuss shit. Had him a warm cup of milk, and he cried himself to sleep while she sat there in her rocking chair beside her baby with his favorite blanket with his name Kevin etched in that shit. You know what I'm saying? That's what happened.
The nigga put up like 32 points and had 11 boards in the final game. I'd cry if I put up a 32 and 11 and still lose. Not only did they lose, they got thrashed.
Yeah, they got beat by like a dubski. It was embarrassing. The Heat showed no respect in that last game. They was throwing alleys from half court. They were just doing all kind of crazy shit, man. The shit was nuts, man. I mean, it was just like, man, I just wanted to know how it felt in that building that night. It just felt like you wanted to be there. You know what I'm saying? It was just crazy, man. I mean, shouts out to the Heat, man.
I fuck that. Durant, it's okay to cry, nigga. You play your whole season. You train. Off season, mm-hmm. And this is your goal, and you get that close to watch it slip away from you, man. I cry.
Man, when last time you seen a professional athlete cry after a loss? I'll wait.
Shit, probably last season. Did somebody cry last season? Ooh. That nigga Bosch collapsed to the floor.
Oh, exactly. And how did we treat him?
Okay, how did you see how that nigga cried? He cried like a 2-year-old. He fell out like a top.
Okay, he fell in his mama's arms. It was sobbing. Mama's arms
with a hug, man. I mean, you hug your parents. Listen,
listen, man. The way we treated Chris Bosh last year, Kevin Durant should get that same amount of misery. You know, he should.
You know why he didn't? This is why he shouldn't. Because Chris Bosh celebrates like a bitch, and he falls like a bitch. I mean, did you see him celebrate after the championship game?
Yes.
This shit was like,
I mean, come on. These guys recorded a video before the season. I mean, this the Heat. They're the Heatles. Come on, man. They're superstars, man. That's how you celebrate when you're a superstar, man.
No,
I mean,
you don't celebrate by dropping to your knees and pouring champagne on your face with your mouth open. That's fruity ass celebration. Dog, I mean, if he wasn't questionable before the celebration, he definitely is now, nigga.
I mean, he had to top himself from last year, man. I mean, he had to top himself. And, I mean, you know, Chris Bosh, man, he's Chris Bosh. You know, like okay, just going back, just, you know, a comparison. When Chris Bosh cried last year, we called him a bitch. When Kevin Durant cried this year, we say, what a class act. And
They cried differently, man. Kevin Durant went out with some honor and dignity. He dapped up his people. He walked in the back, and when he saw his parents, he gave him a hug and cried, let it go. He walked away from his parents, was like, I'm good. Chris Bosh collapsed and had to be carried to the locker room by his teammates with his head in his hands. I don't know anybody, kids or adults, that have cried like that, nigga. I've seen better looking tantrums in the store. That nigga fell apart after that game. So that's why we called him a bitch. Durant was standing on his own too. And just let it go real quick and walked to the locker room afterwards and was like, it's good. And then did the press conference afterwards. And then did the look. I still think that LeBron is the best player in the league, but Durant definitely earned all of my respect this whole playoffs. From game one up until now, up until the finals, he earned all of my respect. And hopefully he'll get one. Just hopefully it won't be playing.
I mean, next year it's gonna be a rematch next year, and it's gonna be a 7-game series.
Easy. It's a lot of free agents out there. You know, Darren Williams. Howard to get.
So on Frocast 87, you know what I'm saying? You know, when it comes back, I'm gonna be like, hey, I told you, man, it's going 7 games, and it's gonna be the Heat and the Thunder again rematch.
But you know, there's a lot of moves and a lot of free agents that are available before that happens.
Listen, man, if the pieces stay intact.
No, we don't want the same pieces. No.
I'm just saying, but even though the Heat are still going to be the best team in the East regardless. I don't care what anybody else in the East does. The Heat are still the best team in the East. And in the West, the Thunder are clearly the best team in the West. So I see them going. It's going to be a rematch next year. I don't care what moves are made. Those are the two best teams in the league, and they just so happen to be on the opposite ends. They're going to have to play each other in the finals. You know?
We'll see. I mean, the teams.
For the next two years.
I'd be happy to see it just because we haven't had anything like that in a while. I would love to see it.
Yeah, we haven't had a rivalry. Exactly.
I would love to see that shit. But I think Miami needs to make a lot of fucking moves. You know, holler at me, Pat, if you want to know what moves you need to make. One of them is moving Chalmers, who's only making $4 million and who'll be a free agent after next season. Y'all need to look at that. You know what I'm saying? Make that trade now while the stock is high. Move
them. Holler at me, Pat, to like, well, you're not going to hear it. Well, if we get it up before tomorrow, and Pat Riley, if you're an avid listener, you might want to trade D-Wade for a high draft pick and get somebody else, because get that fuck nigga out of there, man. D-Wade out, man.
It's not possible. D-Wade is making like $18 million. How are you going to move him? You'd have to trade like a franchise.
Hey, man, we going to get rid of D-Wade down there, man. Notice I said we. We're going to get rid of D-Wade down here.
Now he's with the Heat. Ain't this a bitch?
I'm not a Heat fan, man. I'm not
an anti-Wade fan. So you
anti-Wade, man.
So what if Wade ends up with the Lakers?
I'm a Kobe fan.
Oh, this is true. You don't have a team.
I don't have a team. I'm a Kobe fan. So, you know, I'm just a fan of the game. You know, I got players. Once Kobe retire, you know, I'm going to have to find me a new guy, Pauls. And you know, I don't know who it'll be. Right now it's looking, I might be leaning towards the Durant, you know, LBJ side. But Durant got to get rid of his mama, man. I mean, he just got you.
Only on the Frocast we hear somebody hating on a nigga's mama.
Yeah, Katie Trey, at Katie Trey on Twitter. King Germ said, tell moms to move out. I mean, move the next door. But just get out your house, man. Get her out, man. I mean, I understand you probably like her little, she probably cook a mean pork chop or, you know, you like that macaroni and cheese. But, hey, man, get your mom out your house, bro. Straight up. Man.
I think she said his favorite meal was meatloaf.
See, look at that. She probably cut it up for him and everything. He probably liked it. She probably put a little smiley face and ketchup on his meatloaf.
We got one more bit of Heat news because I've earned this motherfucker. Allegedly, Ray Allen is interested in going to Miami. What you think about that move, bro?
I mean, you going to replace a broken down player like Mike Miller with another down broken. I mean, with Ray Allen, it's a lateral move. I mean,
bullshit. You know, are you saying they're the same?
Yes.
Oh, my God. You doing a little bit much. Where was Mike Miller for most of the playoffs?
Where was Ray Allen for most of the playoffs?
He was contributing to the Celtics, making it as far as they made it. What are you talking about?
He was not. He was hurt. The man wasn't playing shit.
He was still playing. Everybody was amazed at how well he was playing because of his injury.
Exactly. That's the same thing we said about Mike Miller.
No. Mike Miller was straight absent. Mike Miller showed up on game 7.
Hey, that's he showed up when it counted, man. It was game 5, man.
Okay, game 5, right. It's still game 7. The shit was over. It doesn't matter to me. We got the ring at the end. It could have been game 1 for all I
know. Oh, man, I'm just happy, man.
I take it. You know, we get Jesus in Miami. I take it. Jesus with LeBron, who is known as the devil, basically. I take that combination. I take that combination. Quit hating. Shout out to Miami Heat and all the fans, you know, and shout out to the people that are hating, saying that there's no real Miami Heat fans. Everybody's bandwagon.
Like I said, when the Heat won with Game 5, I was like, man, tomorrow's going to be like an election day when Obama won. It's going to be a lot of upset people because I was in the room watching with one of my buddies, and he was, you know, one of the anti, you know, LeBron, whatever. And he was just like, he was just so upset. Like, I mean, I could just see how angry he was, and it got funny to me just to see how mad he got with every time the Heat just got closer to win. And it was just, you know, and that kind of changed me. Like, dang, man, it's kind of funny that these people really hate these guys this much. I mean, LeBron might be the most hated player of all time. Most hated.
He is, easily. He is, I mean, easily. Next to maybe Bill Laimbeer. It's probably the next closest one.
Nah, man. Laimbeer has no... I mean, because Laimbeer, most black people hated Bill Laimbeer. You know, white people probably love him.
This is
LeBron,
true.
LeBron, he gets hate on both sides. Like, black people hate LeBron. White people... I mean, it's just like LeBron. They hate LeBron. I mean, they just hate him for no reason. He has no character issues. He's never got in trouble. I mean, it's just like, why do you hate the guy? Like,
and when you ask people that hate him, why they hate him, they have no defense.
No reason.
They got nothing to say. It's just like they just don't like him.
And so, you know, shout out to LeBron, man. King James, man. You know, from another king to another, man. Welcome to the, you know, whatever we get for being kings.
So we talked about the NBA. It's important that we bring up the draft, which is tomorrow night. When you're listening to this, it'll be that night because this will be up tomorrow. Anthony Davis, this is the big news of the draft, because after what, about pick 20, the rest of the draft doesn't make sense. Like, I literally missed the second round. I don't think I've seen the second round of the NBA draft in like 12 years. I don't pay attention to that shit. They start drafting all those international players that we've never seen going as high as second and third. I don't know half them cats, so fuck it. But Anthony Davis, the number one pick for the Hornets, has trademarked his unibrow. He said that he's going to have shirts that have the phrase "Fear the brow and raise the brow," and I'm sure Nike is all over that shit. Is this a good move or something ridiculous?
Both. I mean, you might as well cash in while you can. I mean, but, you know, then on the other hand, it's ridiculous. Like, why are you trying to popularize the unibrow? I mean, I understand, you know, that's your thing, you running with it. But I hope that's not your only gimmick. I mean, I hope you can play ball, too, because they're not going to give a fuck about your unibrow if you can't play ball. So, you know, it's both, man. So, you know, shout out to Anthony Davis. I was on the wagon early. I saw him in the McDonald's All-American game. I said, this dude's going to be a problem. And, I was right again. I mean, I'm right about a lot about my, you know, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. But, yeah, man, I mean, how do you feel about it?
I think it's smart. You know, like you said, you definitely need anything you do coming in the league, you need to have a game to back it up, which is another reason why I think LeBron is the shit, because to go from playing high school cats and dominating in the league is something that hasn't been done. But
Kobe did it.
What, after four seasons? Kobe sat on the bench for the first two.
Okay.
All right.
But when they took the reins off, he dominated. Okay.
Yeah, after two seasons on the bench or four seasons on the bench, yeah, he finally was able to dominate. LeBron saved the franchise. That's all I'm saying.
But hey, look, if Kobe would have went to a team where he just had to do what LeBron had to do, he would have did the same thing.
That's all
Kobe
allegedly.
Was on the team.
That's all Kobe allegedly. What we can do now is go by what happened. And what happened was LeBron saved an entire franchise.
Okay, Kobe saved the entire franchise. When Shaq left, you know, the Lakers, it was all on Kobe's back. He delivered rings. He was like, here you go. Boom, rings.
Right, after, you know, it only took him 6 or 7 seasons. But that's neither here nor there.
That long.
I'm just saying, man. LeBron came in and made immediate impact is my point.
Okay.
But yeah. Anthony Davis, you know, I still think that he needs to move into point guard. I don't care what nobody says. I think he needs to go back and play the position he can play. At that height, what is he, 6'8 or 6'9? Like the literal height, not the listing at 6'11. I think his actual height is like 6'8 or 6'9. There's not too much you can do with a motherfucker that tall and that athletic.
I put him in small forward. I wouldn't want to put him in point guard, man, because, you know, these little guards these days, they'll probably tear his ass up, man.
you think so?
I mean, yeah, I mean, like, just defensively, I mean, I think defensively he would be a problem. He could stick him. But offensively, I just don't, you know, I don't see him, you know, doing that in the league. Like, I mean, Chris Paul would eat his ass up. You know, Darren Williams, you know, they probably weigh about the same. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy, man.
They might eat his ass. But I mean, that's one of the harder positions in pro sports. So, Initially, it might be a little rough. But once he gets that shit together at that height, man, that should be crazy. It'll be like Penny all over again.
Yeah, but I think he'd probably be more comfortable at the small forward. The four or the three or the four, he probably be. That's where I would keep him at, man. Because, you know, just because of how good he is on defense, I'd be like, I want him to be, you know, that guy. I don't even want you to fuck offense. Who cares? I want you to change the game on this side of the court, you know. But he's going to the struggling franchise, and I feel bad for him. I mean, he's only going to be there 3 years, then he's going to have to get the hell out of there, you know, and so. I mean, how about the NBA just helping out the Hornets, man? What about that?
I mean, they did. They got another pick, too. So they got two picks in the lottery this year.
Damn.
They got two picks in the lottery. They probably have some cap room. And I think they made another trade before this draft, too. I forget what the fuck it was. But I think it wasn't I forget who it was. I ain't going to even start speculating. But, yeah, I mean, they basically put it in their lap. And on the outside looking in is Michael Jordan and his struggling-ass franchise. They have no idea what the fuck they're doing over there. They made a trade. They got Ben Gordon, and they traded Corey Maggette for a 2013 pick. How the fuck is that helping you this year? Like, Ben Gordon hasn't been a scorer for, what, four seasons now?
I mean, why do you want a whole team full of players that's exactly like Ben Gordon?
No,
I mean, you have Ben Gordon. You have Kemba Walker. You have, who else plays for the Bobcats?
That motherfucker, I mean, Augustin or whatever the fuck his name is.
Yeah, DJ Augustin. Yeah. Dadgum, and...
I think they just got him back before. Yep. So, I mean, I don't understand what the fuck he's doing over there. Michael's, I mean,
they need to get rid of the Bobcats, man. Just get rid of them, man. I mean, you know.
Hey, they got new uniforms.
Oh, wow. Get a new owner.
I saw that shit and I laughed to tears. Like, really, the uniform was the problem?
That's what you think it is? So, we're just going to take shit, repackage it and call it something else? No, it's still shit. It's just in a new package. Shit, I mean, bro. Oh my god,
shit. And they tried to make a trade. You missed this episode, but they tried to make a trade. There was allegedly an offer from Cleveland. They traded their entire 2012 draft to the Hornets for that one pick, and they turned it down. Would you have made that trade if you were the Hornets?
Yes, I would have made that trade.
Hell yeah, that's the same thing we said.
I was like, I get more picks, and I'm just like, fuck it, you know what I'm saying? It's, wow, man.
That means you'd have five picks this year.
Exactly, and so that way, man, come on, you can draft you a whole team and have you like a mini little like a Fab Five NBA version, you know, like, look, I can get me a point guard, a shooter guard, I'd draft me five people, like a whole starting lineup.
You could at least draft like most of the Kentucky team, because half them motherfuckers all in the draft.
Wow.
But they
exactly. That's why I was like, I mean, get them number one so they ain't got Anthony Davis here off the board. But I would damn sure get me a point guard, a shooting guard, a power forward, a center, and a small forward. I mean, man,
they blew it. But you know, shout out to Cleveland, who got four picks this year, so they apparently on the rise. I'd keep them. Yeah. Niggas only won 21 games last season. I keep those picks.
What's the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Dan Gilbert's bitch ass.
Yeah, I'm sure he's still probably sick. I'm sure he's called in every day from work and he's somewhere not answering his phone because LeBron, like I said, LeBron probably called him and was like, "Hey, how you doing, Dan? Man, no hard feelings, man."
He should have sent it to him in Comic Sans too.
Yeah, he probably paid. He got a billboard, man. LeBron got a billboard in Cleveland. Just says no hard feelings, man. It's just, you know,
that shit would be epic. Or just leave that motherfucker there. Just put the trophy on the goddamn billboard and just leave it there. Don't even have words.
Yeah, I will buy a billboard and, you know, and let them know. Like, look, man, I will buy this shit, get it paid. And, you know, they wouldn't say nothing about it. That's awesome.
And since we're talking about niggas that are bitter, Drexler, you know, Clyde the Glide Drexler just made some comments. Apparently there's a book coming out, and he felt the need to, you know, they felt the need to drop some quotes from this damn book. And you already signed because you know. You already read the comments. But this is what Clyde the Glide Drexler has said about Magic. Well, let's start with the comments about Jordan. He said he's had a lot of success against Jordan, and he beat him at his game because it was the same game, and he felt that he was bigger and stronger than Jordan. How you feel about that shit?
Okay, first off, I remember first time being introduced to Clyde Drexler. I was watching a slam dunk contest, and every dunk that Michael Jordan did, Clyde Drexler would do the same dunk. And I was like, who is this dickhead to keep copying Michael Jordan? Turns out, it's Clyde Drexler. And then, so, you know, and he was just like, they used to call him a poor man's Jordan. And, you know, yep. He used to do the same thing. But Clyde, You was not, nah, man, Clyde, you all right, man, but you wasn't no on Jordan level, man. You ain't had a, you was a good ball player, but, yeah, you ain't had a killer instinct in you. He ain't raw meat. He ain't eat a steak just, you know, bloody and shit. Nah, he ain't do that. Nope, sorry.
Yeah, I think he, I don't know, you know, and I think he has the benefit of realizing that, you know, America has a very short memory. And most exactly. people don't remember when them motherfuckers played. I wasn't even really big into basketball. But I remember watching them play and just feeling like, just like what you said, Drexler was a poor man's Jordan. You know, he could try and keep up with him, but he didn't do the same thing that Clyde even said. Yeah. That Jordan just shot more than he did. And he did. And he shot more efficiently, I'd imagine. I don't know about the stats head-to-head, you know, but I think that Jordan ended up being known as the best player in the game. And Drexler's only mentioned when you talk about the top 20 for a reason.
I mean, and then my thing is this, it's easy for Clyde to, when you playing Jordan, to get up and play your best game when you playing Mike. But you have to play your best game when you playing Chris Mullin and all them other nights. That's what Michael Jordan did. He never take a night off. He ain't never get up and say, oh, I'm playing Ewing and them. I got to go ham tonight. Nah, Jordan might fuck around and get 60 on the Bucks. And it's like, fuck it, nigga. You know what I'm saying? You know, he ain't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so my thing is with Clyde, I don't think he did that. Like, if I'm playing Jordan, yes, I'm going to bring my best game that night. But the next night, I'm going to fuck off and get 17. You know what I'm saying? So that's why you're not the best, Clyde. So shut the fuck up, man. You know, just go sit down somewhere. You know, be happy that you was on the dream team. And didn't he get some rings in Houston?
Yeah, Hakeem and stuff? I think he got two or three in that motherfucker.
But I think he got two. Yeah, he got two. Man, just be happy, man. You got a ring, dog. Like, man, just shut up, Clyde, man. It's a reason why you ain't get a ring until Jordan retired. You know what I'm saying? It's a reason why. That's how good you were. You didn't get a ring till he stepped away from the game. You know, so that's the only reason why you hate, man. But, you know.
Save some of the heat because there were some more comments from his punk ass. He commented about Magic. And he said, everyone was letting Magic get all his. Basically, I'm not quoting him. This is basically what he said. Everybody was letting him get his shine in the All-Star game. These are his exact words. Had I known he was going to live this long, I would have gotten the MVP for that game. And then he also said, everyone was waiting for Magic to die. So, had they known, Magic wouldn't even made the dream team. God damn.
Hey, man, that's terrible, man. Clyde, man, you're a real class act, Clyde. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that saying that right there, I mean, everybody knew, like, that game when, you know, the All-Star game when Magic was going, everybody kind of just, like, sat back and let him win. You know what I'm saying? It was a kind gesture. But, I mean, for him to say that bullshit, the extra shit, I'm all right with the first part, but the had I known he was going to live this long part, come on, Clyde, what kind of nigga is you? Yeah. You know, ban this nigga from life, man.
That was like, and I think everybody, you know, even Stephen A. Smith talked about this on First Take, and he was like, you know, everyone knew that this was Magic's, you know, farewell game, and they was letting him show out just like you said, but to call it out and to say it like he said, it just sounds so fucking heartless, man. God, yeah, man, everybody was waiting on him to die? What kind of bullshit is that, dog? That is fucked up. That's
a real class act right there. That's a class act if I've never met one. Clyde fucking Drexler.
And then he figured that he would have been on the team instead of Magic. There was a guy named Isaiah Thomas that probably would have got the spot.
I mean, Clyde Drexler, like I said, he should have been happy just to be in the building. Like, I mean, come on, man. Stop it, Clyde. You didn't deserve to be there.
No. Yeah, I don't think so either. He was a good player, but there's a reason your ass wasn't on the team and Leitner was. I'm just saying. So we're done with sports for now, and it's going to be rough, and we'll have an announcement for what the next Frocast is going to be.
Just one quick thing. College football is having this little 14 playoff thing now.
Oh, that's major. Go ahead, bro.
It's a big deal, but I kind of feel it's still going to be bullshit. I think they're appeasing to the new college fans that just screaming for this playoff because, I mean, you know, they get it right more times than not. And now with this new system where a selection committee picks the four best teams, I mean, you know, like, who's to say that three of those teams might be from one conference? Like, yo, I don't think nobody better than these, you know, and then we have one conference. You know, I still feel like, you know, it's going to be some bullshit. So we'll see how that works out. It's not going to start till the 2014 season. So, you know, we still got two more years of the BCS. And, you know, I don't know how I feel about it. I still got to, you know, do more reading and let it digest a little bit, because as long as it don't take away from the regular season, I'm okay with it, you know, because I'm one of the, you know, I love the rivalries, and, you know, shit is big when you know, Florida, Georgia play each other, it's big. When Georgia, Auburn play each other, it's big. When Alabama, you know, it's just a big thing, and I don't want, you know, I guess maybe the regular season will mean more than that. I don't know. It's just weird, but.
Yeah, my only thing about it is I'm one of the people that would have liked to see the playoffs because I like March Madness and I like that kind of setup. I'd like to see other teams get a shot to win the championship, but the biggest thing I like about it is that we're not using that computer bullshit anymore. Like, there'll be actual people making the voting. That BCS computer shit be high as fuck sometimes. So I do appreciate that, but it's not really going to fix anything. It's just going to deflect the issue to something else. So now you've got the four teams, like you said, you're going to have three from a conference because allegedly one conference is always going to be better. That's just how they do it.
I don't know the name of that conference, but, you know, it shall remain nameless. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, you know, we'll talk about it next season because we in that motherfucker too. But it'll be – don't be laughing at my team, dog. Shut up.
I'm not laughing at my team.
But it'll be interesting. At least we get a chance to see it.
Yeah, man. So we'll talk more about that next week, man. You know, but yeah, man. That's all right. We got some other news, man. You know, I like the other news, man. What's going on?
Other news,
man?
Be crazy. You know, I try to find the most ridiculous shit. We need to start making this a contest. You know, let people vote and see what the most ridiculous shit is week to week. This one is for you motherfuckers that like to fly. So imagine that you're on a plane. It's a 10-hour flight, and the motherfucker next to you dies within 2 hours.
Oof.
And they keep the motherfucker on the plane for the rest of the 8 hours. That's what happened to this lady on a Kenyan Airways flight. Apparently the dude started having seizures and convulsions. The staff tried to save him, but he actually passed in the flight. They were only like 2 hours in. What they decided to do was to lay his dead body across three seats and cover him with a cover and let the plane continue on. They didn't stop anywhere. They just went ahead. Now, I guess maybe it's because it's in Africa and there's a lot of desolate areas in Africa. So you can't just necessarily pull over to the next airport and drop a body off. But anyway, they continued to the destination. And after months of petitioning and arguing and emailing, they decided to reimburse her for half of her ticket and sent her an apology. Would that shit be enough for you?
Was she the only woman on the plane?
Nope. It was damn near full flight.
So did everybody get half comp tickets or just her?
I think she's the only one that kept going at it. You know, people get tired when they're dealing with customer service. They don't, you know, want to keep following.
But my thing is this. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, that's unfortunate. I mean, I would have had to been like, yo, man, we got to put him up somewhere, man. We got to put him in the bathroom. We got to put him up in the overhead compartment or something. His ass ain't going to be sitting out here. You know what I'm saying?
Wait a minute, nigga. Did you say the overhead?
Yes. We would have to put his ass up there, man. I would have been like, hold up, man. We got to put him somewhere. Like, he just can't be out here. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, okay, he was on the way somewhere. Do they fly him back? You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you do with his body? Like, let's say if I was coming from my hometown, I down a plane, and this plane lands up in Paris. You know what I'm saying? You got to fly me back. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, how do you handle this? Shit is crazy, man.
Family have to handle it. Because they fly dead bodies all the time. You don't know about it. But that's regular shit.
Because I remember I used to be a ramp agent for Delta Airlines, and, you know, a couple times we had bodies that we had to fly through there, and you had to, you know, put the bodies wherever the plane tilts a certain way, so you have to have the head going a, you know, a certain way, so when the plane flies, all the body fluids don't run out, you know what I'm saying, stuff like that, and it's crazy.
That shit's crazy. What do you think they should have done, though, like the airline? What should they have done instead of?
I mean, if I complain, you know, give me a free ticket somewhere. You know what I'm saying? I pay for this one, but you're just going to give me a free flight somewhere. You know, just give me, you know, that's all I would ask. I'm like, yo, man, just for this trip, I mean, just comp me another trip somewhere. You know, that's all I would ask for, man. I wouldn't have been all like, oh, I need money, and I'm you know, I'm delirious and all that crazy. Nah, man. You know, you gave me half my money back for this trip. You know, I would be okay with that, but I would push for a comp trip somewhere else, man. So
yeah, I'd probably ask for a comp trip, but it's not like it was the airline's fault. It's not like they
killed.
Yeah,
it's not there. So and then like they said, we just can't pull over and we in fucking Africa. Like, hell nah, nigga, this Zimbabwe, we'll die over here, bitch. Like, we just can't do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so you can't get mad at them. You know what I mean? So yeah, you're right.
I know if I was like on that flight though, now that this story came out, I'm sending my email in, nigga. I want some money back.
Hell yeah, because then, I mean, you going, I mean, for the bad, I hope all snacks was on the house on that plane and all liquor, it was open bar. Like, look, you know, anything we got on here, you're welcome to it. You know what I'm saying? You know, let's get to it. You know, I mean, because that, yeah, it would have had to been a lax, you know, environment for me because I got a dead body sitting right here, you know, because it's just, woof.
Yeah, man, I can't imagine being like in her position. You see this motherfucker die. And then you got to keep looking up. Because you're going to keep looking. That's what people do.
Yeah.
You're going to keep looking at this nigga for 8 more hours, covered up on the flight. That's just crazy as shit.
Yeah.
God wow. damn. But there's more. Like, that's not even the crazy story so far.
Mm.
Last week we did the Parents Ain't Shit episode. This week we got some more parents that ain't shit. Apparently this mom in Moscow, who's only 30 years old. So she had the worst week ever. She found out that her husband was cheating on her. Then she tried to commit suicide, and apparently that didn't work. She's a failure. And then she decided she was tired of her kids, so she walked them up to the 15th floor and threw them off. And they died. She threw two kids off a 15th floor balcony, and they died.
Wow. Did she commit suicide after that?
Nope.
Oh man, she needs to be firing squad killed, man, because that's, you don't fuck with kids, man. I just, you know, that's a soft spot. You know, I deal with kids a lot, and you know, it's just,
well, yeah, because you have them.
Well, I mean, not even just my kids, man. You know, I coach, you know, everything, and I mean, King Jeremy is a man of the community. I try to each one teach one. That's my mantra. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I don't, you know, little kid hungry, you can come to my house, get something to eat. You need some help with your homework, I help you out. You need a ride to school, you know, I ain't gonna get no ride, no bullshit. But you know, I help any kid I can, man. And you know, no Sandusky or nothing like that. But you know, that's just what I do. But, you know, yeah, I just, people fuck with kids, man. It's just, I'm pissed, man. You know, I just don't like that.
It doesn't say in the story, at least I didn't see in the story, how old the kids were. But if I'm one of the two kids and you threw my brother over the balcony, you're not catching me. How the fuck do you throw two motherfuckers over the balcony?
I mean, I said, they had to be babies. But even like a little 3 or 4 year old, they see their first baby go, they're like, whoa.
Yeah, yeah, that's not a game. That motherfucker, I know what's over that edge because I played on that edge before. Kids are not stupid. So, man, look, good luck with her punk ass because she about to get that Royal Sandusky treatment. Whenever his ass goes into Gen Pop, it's a wrap. And he might not make it out of solitary confinement because them niggas find a way.
Like I said, man, Sandusky might get off, and your boy Zim might get off, man.
Oh,
so,
no,
you know,
Sandusky's getting 60.
Oh, okay, well, never mind, I take that back.
Yeah, he's getting 60. He got convicted on 45 and 48 counts, and the minimum is 60 years.
Oh, okay.
So matter of fact, they were talking about, I should have put it for this outline.
He's getting 60.
Yeah, he's getting at least 60. But I should have put it on this outline. Apparently, the inmates are already taunting his ass in solitary confinement. Because, you know, it's a whole row of solitary cells. And they've been singing to this nigga during, like, the whole day. They singing. I forget what it was. It's some eerie-ass rock song that they singing to his ass, driving him crazy. So, yeah, it's a wrap for his punk ass, and it's a wrap for her ass, too. And, you know, Moscow, overseas, over the pond, them niggas have a whole different way of judging people. They ain't going to just lock you up.
So exactly, man. People think we have bad in American prisons. Oh, no. Oh, no. We are one of the most humane prisons out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, there's a reason why the jails are not overcrowded over there, because them motherfuckers are dead.
Exactly.
Their motherfuckers are dead. We don't have a population problem in jail here because we kill them.
Yes. So, they don't last long. Man. We make it a place that you don't want to be, so you don't want to come here. But you know.
Yeah. And also in some other news, some fucked up shit, apparently slavery isn't done. Now, I know you see the NBC stories and shit on the news, and they talk about the sex trafficking and shit like that. But I didn't know the number about how many people they actually caught. Last year, allegedly, 42,000 adults and children were slaved from slavery. 42,000 motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of people, dog. Like, I don't even understand in modern society how you could be a slave. Like, would you revolt, or would you just deal with it and hope that it got better? Like,
I mean, okay, for instance, like, you know, the people that get bought into the United States and, you know, for hope to be a citizen, and, you know, they pay the money and they get over here and they sold into like the little, you know, massage parlors that be easy, frequent, and, you know, the little. I mean, it's just like, you know, I couldn't do it. I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, but, you know, obviously across seas, they say coming to America is like winning the lottery. And, you know, and they just, you know, so I guess some people, you know, my buddy was telling me, he's from Senegal, and he was telling me how people have died trying to get, you know, riding boats from Africa to, you know, United States. He was like, he said, people, you know, it's crazy. He was just like, they build boats and the boats don't even be steady and they get out in the waters and it's a wrap. You know what I'm saying? So I guess America's just that great that people want to be there. You know, I love America. You know, so I wouldn't want to live nowhere else besides, you know, like Amsterdam, but, you know.
Maybe Canada. Canada's pretty nice.
Too cold, but, you know, Amsterdam's cold too, but. I guess Canada. No, I can't say this, Canada.
So you would get your Catcher Freeman on? You'd be, you know, helping release the others and revolting, or would you just get yourself out?
I mean, I save the ones that want to be saved, man. I ain't gonna be sitting there. I ain't gonna be no Harriet Tubman or that shit or nothing like that. I ain't, you know, fuck that. You know what I'm saying? I'm getting my people out. Then, hey, I'm good. Hey, I got to start. You know, I'm like your boy on Grand Theft Auto. I'm like Nico Bellic then, man. I'm starting with nothing.
Yeah, you know I don't see how that shit. There's no way I can see. And maybe that I can't even fully grasp this concept. Like, you, I mean, know, the internet's out there. Pretty much everybody has a TV. How am I going to be a slave when I know better?
But, I mean, like I said, if you, let's say, it's all right, you paid, you live in some country, and, you know, you paid a man $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 to come to America. He gonna get you from your country just to get you in the United States. You know, you on some old bullshit. You ain't got no papers or nothing. You here illegally as fuck. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, but when you get here, or let's say you didn't have the money, but I say, hey, I'm gonna get you there, but you gonna work off your debt. You know what I'm saying? And then I bring you here and you working in my motherfucking fish shop. You know, you just cleaning fish all motherfucking day. I put you up in my house. I feed you, you know, fish trimmings and shit. And you know what I'm saying? And, you know, but that's all you do. You know, till I feel like you work my debt off. And then once you work my debt off, you're free to go in America and do as you please. But you paying me back for my trip. You know what I'm saying? That's basically what you're doing. You know, so, I mean, it depends on how bad you want to be in America, man. That's it. Just, if I really wanted to be here, you know, yeah, I probably would do it. You know, if I wanted to, you know, I'm looking at TV and like, hey, that American life, man, I can go. I mean, because, like I said, it's the only place you can go and just become a millionaire over, you know, not overnight, but, you know, just, you know, work hard, you can get it. So, I mean.
But that sounds like you have a choice. You know what I'm saying? You have a choice to take this situation and do it.
Yeah, but like I said. Once you choose to, like I said, if you ain't got the money to pay, you gonna have to work your debt off.
But now, these niggas ain't given a choice, man. These is kids and adults, sex slaves and shit, and they're not coming to America.
Yeah,
these like niggas abroad, man.
Yeah, like I said, that's some crazy shit. You're right. I don't see how you could be a slave, but.
Yeah, I can't fuck with it, and that's, you know, yeah. I was supposed to go visit my folks in Arizona, and. Coming from Austin, the quickest way is to drive along the Mexican border. Now, if you're not down south and not exposed to what happens along that Mexican border, they kidnap motherfuckers, they smuggle drugs, they kill motherfuckers. People have been found decapitated along the border. There's no way in hell I'm going that way. There's no way in hell. And if I got taken into slavery on some bullshit like that, I'm dead because I'm just not finna do it. I know better. There's no way I'm going to be an adult in slavery. It's not going to happen. It's just a wrap. I don't even want to go to prison. I can give a fuck what it is. If they fuck around and say that I ran a red light and now it's turned into a warrant and I got to do time, they're going to have to kill me, dog. Give me the chair. I'm not going to jail. I'm not going.
Right. So you telling me you couldn't do 3 days in jail? So all right.
No.
Oh, man. Come on. You could do 3 days in jail, bro. It's all right, bro. You can do 3 days, man.
Nigga.
You gonna sleep one of them away already. You gonna sleep one of them away.
That's if they let you sleep. Nigga, look.
They can't make you do nothing in jail?
Them niggas can do whatever the fuck they want to in jail. Especially I'm in Texas.
In jail, you don't get no rec time. You can just sit in the. I mean, man, you ain't. I mean, yeah, man, it's jail. Like prison. Prison and jail, like, it's a totally different environment, man. Like, jail, man, you can just sit in your fucking bunk all day and be like, you know what?
That's true. I'm thinking about prison. I don't want to go to prison.
You think about prison, yeah. I want to go to prison.
Yeah. So I'm not fucking around with prison. Prison, they have to send me to the chair. Jail, yeah, I hear you. But prison,
Yeah, that's one thing that kept me, you know, on the straight and narrow, man. Because, you know, I ain't saying I was scared to go, but I just didn't, you know, I just didn't want to be in a place like that. Like, you know, just somebody got total control over me. Like, I don't really fucking matter no more. But, you know, I guess, you know, you don't want your liberties taken from you. Don't, you know, break the law.
Yeah, basically that's it. And this is why Saul Wright doesn't smoke weed, because I know that the moment I go pick up some weed, somebody gonna catch my ass and plant some cocaine in the car. I know it. They gonna sprinkle some crack on me, and it's gonna go bad. I'm in Texas, and I drive a Bronco. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, you got that OJ ass mobile, nigga. You asking for trouble?
Hey,
niggas think like that's Al Collins. Nah, son, sorry.
Hey, speaking of which, Truck Turner's about dead, man. That motherfucker done stopped working on me, so I might not be in the Bronco no more, man. If y'all, you know, hit me up on the damn site nappyafro.com, or hit me up on Twitter if you want to buy a Bronco that needs an alternator or a starter or some shit.
Alternator, starter, that's not that bad, man.
Nigga, I don't know how to fix it.
And bruh, you said you're in Texas, so that means there's an influx of Mexicans, which means that means your car can get worked on for a good price and good work. Dog, a Mexican, man, if you go buy, you may go to a Mexican auto mechanic shop, man. They have your car right, man. And they gonna do good work. Fuck that. I only let Mexican touch my car, man. Fuck that.
I don't know. I had a brother crackhead in Atlanta work on my car. That shit was great for about 4 or 5 months.
And see, then that's why I don't let
gasket started leaking again, and I had to let it go.
Crackheads, man, they don't have proper tools. If you're a crackhead and you ain't got proper tools, you're not working on my car.
This is
true.
You
know what I'm saying? Simple as that. I don't need you, like, you know, trying to rig something up and because you fucking shit up. Go to a Mexican, he gonna get your shit right, man. Fuck that.
This is true. You know, and I might have to do it a different way, because I've been fucking with Facebook lately, and I think most of the Mexicans down here don't really fuck with Facebook, because I'm getting no response.
Well, no, they fuck with it. They're just not in your circle. Like, you're not going to...
Yeah, I might need to go down to the motherfucking Home Depot in the morning to just wait in the Pacific and see. Yeah, you fix cars, nigga? You fix cars?
You're like, hey, man, ask somebody in the Spanish, this Mexican, be like, hey, you know any mechanics, El Mechanicos, that work on El Broncos? Okay, cool. I need his... Okay, bet. I'm trying to tell you, man. Mexicans do the best work, man.
Might be right about this shit. I might have to go ahead and follow that up.
I know this wasn't on the thing, but I just got to ask you one quick question.
Go ahead, bro.
The bus monitor old lady that got teased by the kids and got, what, like $600,000-$700,000?
Yeah, please catch us up to speed on that, because I only heard the tail end of it like last week sometime.
Okay, so obviously it was a YouTube video out of this bus monitor getting picked on by kids, and, you know, the kids were real mean to her. They were calling her fat, and, you know, they made her cry, and she was just sitting there. I mean, it was kind of sad because, you know, one, the kids were just going in, nobody stood up for her, you know what I'm saying? She was just sitting there taking it, crying, and, you know, she took it like a champ, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, at some point in time, you know, you're a grown up. You know, you can't be sitting there getting teased by little kids and not defend yourself. And I don't give a fuck how bad you need a job. You know what I'm saying? They would have understood if you nutted up on them kids for what they was doing. But, you know, America, people saw it, felt sorry for her, and they started donating. They set up a little GoFundMe account for her. And, you know, last time I checked, she had like about $700,000-$800,000 in there. And, you know, so now she's going to be able to retire.
Whoa. They gave her up to what?
Yes, they done days, man. She got donated like it was about $800,000, man. You know, they just donated to her, and, you know, she said she don't know if she's going to donate some of the money to some cause, but she said she's going to go vacation, going to take some time off work, and, you know, it's just, you know, it's a happy ending. Okay. You know what I'm saying? But, you know.
So let the Huey Newton come out in me. Was she white?
Of course.
Okay. That's all I need to hear. What was your question, bro? That's all I need to hear.
Yeah, I mean, how did you feel about that? Like, you know, like, I mean, me personally, I watched probably like 2-3 minutes of it, because it was kind of, I don't like watching videos when people don't defend themselves. Like, that's kind of, you know, you getting picked on and you just sitting there not defending yourself. It's kind of whack. And it's like, I'm not, you know, I'm kind of mad at the bully. But then the person is getting bullied. Like, you gotta have a backbone. And she was like, "That's like, are those tears coming out your eyes?" And, "Yeah, it's because I'm crying." And then, I mean, you gotta see the video. It's kind of sad that, you know. But I mean, she came up off of. I mean,
you gonna post it in the forums?
I can put it in the forums. Yes, I will put it in the forums. But you know, me personally, I mean, if I can let somebody bully me on camera, you know, not put their hands on me, but that much, and me cry, and I can get $800,000, sign me up. You know what I'm saying? What do I got to do? I didn't get embarrassed. You know, I just cried. So what? You know, according to Kevin Durant, crying is okay. You know what I'm saying? So hey, fuck it.
Hey, it's perfect. I'm finna go right now and rent me a school bus and some kids, and we finna come up. Because I'm fat. I'm going to talk about me.
Yes, I'm going to tell my kids on my football team. I'm going to say, hey, pick on me this year. Pick on me so much that I'm going to cry and I'm going to upload the video to YouTube. And I want people to donate to me. And, you know, this is what we're going to do now.
We get new uniforms and all new equipment, yes, and shit.
New uniforms, man. I'm saying, hey, if we do this right, we might get us a stadium built, kids. You know what I'm saying?
I'm starting to question, like, and this is my own thing. Maybe I'm a bit of a hippie or whatever the fuck you want to call it. But with Zimmerman, with this situation, with the Kickstarter campaigns, as broke as America apparently is, we give our money to a lot of bullshit.
Yes, yes.
Like, it's a lot of Kickstarter campaigns for t-shirts and motherfucking movies and documentaries, and people are getting paid. And some of the shit I like, I don't support none of it. I'm not giving you money to make your own dreams happen. I don't understand.
I think we need to start one for Nappy Afro so we can, you know.
We had the PayPal button on the site.
Nobody, but no, man, you got to go better, man. You got to go, like, GoFundMe and, you know, PayPal, you know, nah, man. We got to be, hey, we're going to do it, man. We're going
to
do it.
Fuck
it.
A Kickstarter campaign to finally get these shirts.
Yes, to finally get these shirts, you know, and the people that, you know, donate, you know, a nice amount, they're getting a free shirt off rip.
You know what?
So don't think of your donation as don't look at your donation just a donation. Your donation is getting you a free t-shirt out the deal. So, people,
you're
going to work on that.
Get your t-shirt. You want to donate and get your commercial read? We'll do your commercial on the Frocast and give you a shirt. It sounds like a win-win. If you motherfuckers is donating to all these different campaigns and shit, and this bitch got damn near $1 million because she cried on the bus, how old were these kids?
They're like kids. Like, no, they couldn't have been no older than high school, middle school. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, they didn't even, like I said, they were white kids egging on. I mean, just like they were white people teasing. It wasn't like black people. You know how black people, we tease, you know, we go in. Yeah. They ain't cussing. You know, they were just like, you know, they were just picking on her. And she just was, I mean, it was.
She's probably, they were probably singing little songs like, fat, 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 fat. And they just, yeah. It's some bullshit, man. And, but then again, the flip side of it is bus driver's been whooping kids' ass for a long time.
Yeah, but she was a bus driver monitor. She wasn't even a driver. that's the thing. She was a lady to sit there to just be like, you know, to keep, you know, usually the bus monitor is somebody to command respect. You know what I'm saying? Like, bus monitor, like, sit your ass down. You know, you set your ass down. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, what a bus monitor she was, man. So she deserved to lose her job. She had control of the situation.
She don't need a job.
Yeah.
$700,000, you're not rich, but you should be able to, you should know how to flip that shit and make it to do $700,000.
She going to have one hell of a tax return this year.
Yeah. yeah. Wait, can they tax donations?
Yeah. She going to have to tax his income, I guess. I mean, because, you know, gifts. I mean, I don't know. They're going to have to tax something. I don't know. Do they have to tax?
Yeah, I don't know if they have to tax donations. You know, shout out to Zimmerman and his wife, who, even though they wrong as fuck, his wife is down like a motherfucker.
Yeah, I mean,
God,
people talking bad about it. I was like, man, come on. If she was black and Zimmerman was black and the same thing, they'd be like, oh, she was a down-ass bitch. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, hey.
She went to the tiny school of wifing.
Yeah, at least she down for the cause, man. So, you know, shout-outs to, you know, not George Zimmerman, but his wife, I mean, for, you know, sticking by your man. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do. I mean, so, hey.
She about to go to jail for that nigga, too, just like he was selling drugs and she was helping, because it's about to go down for they monkey asses.
Yeah, man. So, you know, hopefully justice is served on that, man. You know, that whole situation.
Some more shit that's not on the outline, but I thought I wanted to talk about it, even though it's kind of a dead issue now. Did you see the picture of those Adidas with the shackles?
Yeah, I saw those.
Do you think that was a slavery issue or black folks overreacting again?
I think certain black folks are overreacting. You know, it's always that certain group of black folks that probably haven't chilled with black folks in a while to get upset at shit like this. Because normal black folks be like, you know what, them shit's ugly. Like, I want to rock them shits anyway. I mean, you know, but I mean, I don't see the, you know, they call them handcuffs or something.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
They were called handcuffs, but they were actually shackles. So, I mean, you know, I get what they were trying to say, but you know, the outrage, nah, I'm not really outraged about it. Price tag on them, $200-some.
$300.
Please. $300. Even worse.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I don't. I didn't even see, like, I didn't see them as shackles until somebody said something. I just thought they were really fucking ugly. I was like, these some ugly ass kicks. And then they was like, yeah, it's slavery. And I was like, oh. Okay, well, I see it, but I didn't think that they were gunning for... Like, it doesn't even make sense for it to be slavery. Like, who's going to rock slavery gear? That doesn't even make sense to me, but... Yeah, there's some ugly-ass kicks, and they were expensive, which brings me to my next question. What's the most you ever spent for tennis shoes? And what's the most you would spend for tennis shoes now, as a grown-ass man?
As a grown-ass man now, I haven't... Wow. Ooh. The most I ever spent for some shoes, I think I spent like 180 for some Jordans. But shoes now, like I myself, last pair of shoes I bought for myself, I paid like $45. Well, there's some Nike, you know, like running shoes, you know what I'm saying? You know, because that's all I wear because they're cheap. I go to Sports Authority, get those shoes. You know, my son, he gets the expensive shoes now because, you know, he's about to be 9 and he wears LeBron James shoes and stuff like that. And, you know, he's got a big foot, and he's no more kid shoes. I got to spend $100 for his shoes.
God, so, damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
$180 for the Jordans. When was this?
This was like the one that came with the suitcase and all that stuff.
Oh, okay. Wasn't that the Ferrari editions? I don't know the numbers. I'm not a Jordan head like that. But they were supposedly red and black. They were made like with the Ferrari emblem or some shit on the side.
No. Those, they were after those, actually. Those were... The Ferrari emblem was like the 14, the 15s or something like that. These were like the 19s. I don't know. It's 17, 18. I don't know. I can't keep up with the numbers. The ones that came with the little suitcase, they, I think they had like the little zipper flap that went over the top.
Oh, like, okay. Yeah. I remember motherfuckers going in about them.
You know, Michael Jordan was doing too much. But, you know, I just, you know, the suitcase was cool. And, but, you know, what about you, man?
Yeah, I think those were the. I want to say those were the 17s. You know, I got my Google on. I think those are the 17s. But the most I spent was the, now, like I said, I don't know the numbers, but it was the same ones that they came out with the Space Jams. But these were the all black ones with the patent leather and the red sole. I paid $109 for them bitches. It was $99 after tax. It was $109. And they got stolen from me.
Wow.
Deep game. At the time, I worked at Shoe Carnival. And I worked up front, and I was wearing these motherfucking Jordans that I paid $109 for. And my boss came and told me that I couldn't wear them because we didn't sell them in the store. So I either needed to go home, or I needed to buy some shoes from the store to wear to work. At the time, I had, like, some Jordans. I had some other shit. None of the shoes I had at the crib, we sold at Shoe Carnival at all. I didn't spend my check on that shit. Because at the time, we didn't sell Nikes for whatever reason. So I went and bought some little bullshit shoes, and I switched out, put my Jordans in... that box and left them up front where I was. So when I go on lunch break, I'm like, yo, watch my shit. I gotta go to lunch and I'll be back after my 30 minutes. It wasn't until we closed for the night, we putting shit away, I noticed my bag is missing. Somebody got out with my Jordans. If I ever find you, I'm whooping your ass. Straight up. It was $109 on my check, dog. I ain't no
dang.
But the most that I would spend now, I don't know. It depends on what it is. Like, I just bought another pair of those RJ Bolo trainers, the shoes that Jordan made for Roy Jones Jr., the first edition.
Mm-hmm.
Black and white ones. I got those off eBay, but they was only $30.
Oh, okay. Those shits was like $200, too, when they first came out.
And I never bought them when they first came out. This is my third pair.
I was like, what the fuck Michael Jordan think he doing? I was like, yo, what the fuck? These shoes ain't these shoes. Like, these, like, boxing shoes. I was like, what the fuck?
Oh, no, not the high top ones. The first,
the
little short low top ones. They were like,
okay.
They were like mid quarters. They were just black and white. I think they were black and white and red and white were the official colors. But them motherfuckers comfortable as hell. It's like a sock with a sole, nigga. I love the goddamn shoe, but them was $30. I would go to Payless right now. I would go to Payless and get some shoes because I don't give a fuck. Saul Wright is not a cool individual, and I'm married, so who am I impressing? I don't give a fuck. I would go to Payless and get some shoes right now.
Off the bullshit, no bullshit. I want me some of them little Vibram shoes, man. The little toes and shit.
They start to look good only because I'm hitting the gym now. I'm trying to get, you know, trying to get my workout on. And them are allegedly the best shoes for working out.
Yeah, man. I just like them. They ugly, but they look cool though, man. Just like, you know, you see somebody walking, you're like, oh shit, them shits look alright.
But how you gonna play those? You gonna wear them with jeans? Like with blue toes?
Nah, man, shorts, man.
Oh, nah, are you?
They got, look, they got, what? Look, they even got, I was checking on the site, man. They got different varieties of them, man. Like, you ought to see them, man. They got different kinds of them, man. It's crazy, man.
But them are what? They like $99 or something stupid?
Yeah, and that's the only thing to keep me from buying them. Cause I was like, I can't pay $100 for those shoes. Like, that's ridiculous. Like, you know, I mean, I buy me some boat shoes or something, man. You know what I mean? But, you know, I don't know.
And then, wait, for those, like, if whose foot is that modeled after? Because I got a flat foot. I don't have an arch. I couldn't wear them motherfuckers.
Oh, I just thought about that. Me neither.
So, yeah, who the fuck? You know what? I want to go to the store and try them on this weekend just to see.
Yeah, the lady say, oh, you can't wear these. Why? You don't have an arch. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I want to check them shits out just for that reason.
They might have one for a flat-footed person, though. You never know, man.
Maybe we need to make them. That's the new Kickstarter. Nappy Afro makes Vibrams for flat-foot motherfuckers. Flat fat feet. That's what we're going to call them motherfuckers. The nappy flat foot. But yeah, get back on track. Getting back to the outline. this one made me laugh. I read about this story. Apparently a 72-year-old and a 47-year-old are neighbors in some apartment complex for whatever reason that is. A 72-year-old, your ass needs to be in the home or some shit. But apparently they had drama over noise complaints, and I guess the 47-year-old dude got tired of it and decided to stick his ass up to the neighbor's door and fart. So the 72-year-old dude who heard the fart through his front door decided to go get his gun and told the motherfucker he put a hole in his head for doing that trifle shit. So now the 47-year-old goes and calls the cops, and the 72-year-old dude is arrested for aggravated assault, unlawful possession of a firearm, and making terrorist threats. Who's in the right and who's in the wrong?
Well, I'm going to have to say that...
Yes, the old man is black. I don't know if the other dude is white, but the fact he went to the cops, I would say he's white, and the old man is black.
I'm going to go with the old man is in the right here because, you know, the dude, the 47-year-old guy, he's doing a little young kid. You know, what was farting at his door going to prove? You know what I'm saying? So what it proved was that this old man pulled a pistol out on you, you know, threatening your life. So, you know, you got to understand that, you know what I'm saying, like, he just wasn't playing this shit, so, I mean, he wasn't playing it, you know what I'm saying, so, you know, like, that old man was in the right, like, you come to my door farting, I mean, old man, where do you live that your walls that thin that you can hear somebody fart outside your door? Either that was one loud-ass fart, or you got some thin-ass, plywood-ass doors,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying, so.
If he went to the door and decided that he would fart, he meant for him to hear it and smell it, and...
Yeah. Maybe his door like was that. Open. Maybe the door was open. I don't know, man. It's just too much for me, man.
That shit crazy. Is crazy. You poot, I shoot, nigga. What? You gonna fart at my door? Let me go get this Glock, and I put a hole in it. And then you gonna go tell. So you niggas is going back and forth, and then you done instigated the shit, and now you want to go tell. You want to go tell the cops? That's some more bullshit, man. But that's some ridiculous ass news. You get shot over farting. Because what he got to lose? He's 72. What he got to lose?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I said. But he was letting him, he let a message be known. Don't be coming with that bullshit at my door, nigga. Like, fuck that.
That shit crazy as fuck. So we going to cut that short on the news, man. I'm trying to wrap these shows up. I don't want to do 2-hour shows. I think we started to wear the listeners out. So I'm going to try and keep them around an hour, hour and a half if we can. So that's the news for this week. We're going to get to the questions from the nation. Our homie, the MVP of Fro Nation, our homie Short T, your boy from Twitter, send us another question. And we got a post coming up on this, so this is good timing. He says, while watching Love and Hip Hop last night, I wondered two things. were Lil Scrappy and Stevie J the only rapper and producer in Atlanta they could come up with on their own reality show? And what would be your idea for a reality show?
Wow. The Stevie J, Lil Scrappy thing, that was interesting. I mean, you know, for one, Stevie J, he's making the show interesting because he's a funny guy. I mean, the Stevie J guy, the capers he pulls off and the way he looks and the talks to his women are classic. And, you know, I'm a Stevie J fan. I mean, he's a slime ball. Yes, I know. But I'm a fan of his work. And I mean, he's, you know, but as far as producer wise, I can name three songs Stevie J done. I mean, you know, maybe everybody in Atlanta turned it down because they didn't want to be in the business. And, you know, maybe, you know, Lil Scrappy, he definitely needs this good look. He needs this because his career is over. Like, I mean, his career is over. This is all he got. So, you know, I mean, he had to do that. He was like, yo, I'll do it. They probably said, well, Scrappy, we're going to do this. Well, I don't care. Well, Scrappy, look, dog, I need this. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, he needs it. So, you know, that. I guess, I mean, hey. I mean, T.I. got his own show. Ludacris, he's not even rapping. Who else in Atlanta, you know, we would possibly want to see? You know, Jermaine Dupri, he's kind of like, you know, he's old. Andre 3000, CeeLo, you know, somebody like that. But, you know, so, I mean, I'm okay with the guys because they're, like, they're not that famous that they not scared to be themselves on camera. So that's why I'm kind of cool with it.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with Stevie J until before this show, but the nigga is so regular. Like, all the shit he says to these motherfuckers is regular nigga shit, and it's hilarious, even though I'll probably never watch the show again. I watched it because we got something coming up, but the nigga is I remember saying half the shit he says. Like, this is regular nigga shit. He sit up there and he cheating on this girl, and his girl catch him. He like, hold on, come back. Hold on, listen, calm down. That's regular nigga shit. He don't even do the power moves like he got all his money. He don't do the power moves like that nigga on Cheetahs. That old ass player on Cheetahs was like, hold up, you gonna stay here. He had both bitches. You gonna stay here because I take good care of you, and you ain't going nowhere because I said you ain't going nowhere. That's power nigga shit. Stevie J is a regular ass dude, and Lil Scrappy, they built him up on the show. You would think Lil Scrappy had like platinum albums or some shit.
Nah, man, he had a gold album, man. That was it.
I mean, I've only seen Lil Scrappy outside of this show once in like 6 or 7 years.
Exactly. So that's my point.
I'm kind of shocked at how they boosted him up on this show, along with the rest of the motherfuckers, K Michelle and Rashida. Like, I just. Yeah, and you're right. They did a lot of Atlanta artists did turn this show down because they didn't want to be on the show.
Yeah, because I mean, you look at who K Michelle, like, she's not even from Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? You know, she's from like Memphis. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, and Rashida, she's been around for a long time. You know, I mean, I'm pretty sure you remember her from your rounds in Atlanta.
She regular shit. She's one of the motherfuckers that everybody knew that still wasn't really big. She really wasn't big shit.
Yeah, she was just like a local celebrity, you know, and then it's just, and then these other people, it's a lot of, you know, I know this term is old, it's a lot of ratchetness going on, you know, on this show, and I mean, I like it. I mean, I'm sorry, it sucked me in.
Yeah.
Pause.
Yeah, I'm not watching. You'll hear more about us talking about this show later, what we got working on, but fuck that show, and I can't deal with it. He says, what would be your idea for a reality show right now?
My reality show would be Survivor, but I would take, like, people that never, like, left home and always had mommy and daddy take care of them. I would put them in, like, an urban environment, like a project-type neighborhood, and, you know, just had them survive for, like, 48 days in the hood.
That's
you
been
know what I'm saying? With no money. Where? How's it been done?
The MTV did a show like that with some kids. They would take these baby-ass kids and ship them. Like, one chick went to Africa. Some other chick went, you know, they did that. Send them to the Amazon, all kinds of shit. Not that it was a bad show, but
I'm talking about the hood, nigga. Like fucking the hood. Like,
you drop off in the jungle in L.A.
I'm talking about like Queensbridge, the jungle, or you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm talking about some shit like that, nigga, where they niggas could die, and you know what I'm saying? And they ain't got no money, and they just you gotta survive. Like, I'm talking about cameraman and help you with shit, nigga. Like, you gotta come up, you gotta go work an odd job a day to make some money to, you know, get you a little room for the night. And hell, if you ain't got no room, you gotta sleep outside. And you know what I'm saying? That's just how it is. Like, you know, I want to see, like,
committed in the hood, bro.
Man, I mean, of course you had to go to the Larry Hoovers of the hood and get a hood pass, you know what I'm saying, just for the cameras, and tell them, like, everybody else fair game, though. Like, cameramans, you don't fuck with them. Everybody else fair game. Like, you can rob these niggas, who cares? Cameraman, you gotta leave them alone. Like, that's the deal we got. Cool. You know what I'm saying?
Goddamn shame. And the thing is that would do numbers. People will watch anything on TV right now.
Yes, I mean, because I mean, America is starting to come around with the TV shows, like that Glass House show where you control everything about the people. Like, that's weird. Like, what they eat, what they wear. Yeah, it's crazy. Real life sin. Exactly.
That shit. When I saw the commercial, I was like, wait a minute, what? So you vote on what the motherfuckers do and they do it? Like niggas kissing niggas? I said, nah, man, this is The Sims and these motherfuckers. What was the show? Was it Running Man? Was the movie when people were voting on motherfuckers to get killed and they had to fight it out? I think it was Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Running Man or Blade Runner. One of the motherfuckers or something like that. Where it's like violence on reality TV and motherfuckers was tuning in. It's the same shit. We'll be at that show soon. It's coming.
Yep.
It's coming.
People are going to start dying on TV, man. It's going to happen.
Yep.
Somebody's going to die on live TV, like in a game show, where it's going to come right to that point. Where like, hey, man, if you win, you win $1 million. If you die, if you don't win, you die. And, you know, people going to take that chance because it's going to be like, hey, fuck it. If I make it out, it's going to be some soft shit. Like, niggas going to be like, do you want to play a game? You know?
Fucking real life ass Hunger Games.
Jigsaw and shit, like real jigsaw.
Yeah, this shit crazy as fuck, man. It's going to happen. I'll give it another 5 or 10 years, and that shit is going to really happen. What would be my idea for a reality show? The only thing I could think of is because hip-hop is so underrepresented on TV, like actual hip-hop. I'm not talking about love and hip-hop and that bullshit. Is do a hip-hop version of American Idol. I think that shit would do numbers, man. I mean, they did the hip-hop square, so you do a hip-hop version of American Idol and let these niggas actually rap, have to rap classics, get the cadence right, that kind of shit, I think that shit would do numbers. That's what I would do if I had a TV show. I'm telling you, BET, TV1, Bounce TV, holla at me. I got ideas, man. It's shit that needs to happen.
Hey, sorry, that's a good one right there, man.
I'm telling you, man, I got the ideas. I just need the money, man. I get the money.
That's where that's where our GoFundMe gonna come from, man.
Right, I need to put that on Kickstarter too. We can have all this shit together, man. Nappy Afro's gonna have a whole Kickstarter webpage. It's gonna be all website of all of our fucking ideas, and y'all can donate money, you bitches, and get shirts and shit. And since you've been missing in action, I thought it was only right that we bring back the real nigga quotes from last week and let you answer it. Me and Be Easy answered it, but our nigga Negro Domus had a legit question I think you need to answer. So here it is. Real nigga quotes from last week. King Germ is going to weigh in.
No cup, no canes, no capes. Just gay. No cup, no canes, no capes. Just gay.
Misconception, though. Folk really think I'm stupid, hell. I like that too.
I'm gonna keep it real. Usually I keep it, you know, when you see me in the white tee, it's because, you know, that's just that hood in me. You know what I'm saying? I could have put on the nicest shirt, but fuck it.
Okay, well, the first thing, I don't care about no recognition and all that. I want some money. You know what I'm saying? Keep your recognition. I ain't like all these dudes who up here tap dancing and bootlegging and square bopping. I'm about the money.
All right, so the question is from NegroDiamonds93 on Twitter. I've been trying to smash some of my old chicks since I got back home from school. Sadly, I come to find out many of the girls I could have smashed before have gone to school and now moved on and had boyfriends. There aren't many viable chicks left, but there's one I'm pretty sure let me hit. She's been around, she's been into me for a while now, and she's a freak. However, I'm pretty sure she wants a relationship, which isn't something I want to get into when I got to go back to school in a few months. On top of that, she's been through some things with dudes and has a lot of anger towards them, and she has a quick temper. I'm tempted to hit it and quit it, but I recently applied to Bojangles, only to find out that she works there a few days later. I'd hate to fuck around and get hot grease poured on me because I didn't call her back after I hit. So the question is, do I smash or pass?
My young brother, with any girl, you always have these, every woman should come with these labels of them being crazy. Don't fall for that bullshit. She's not really crazy. You smash, and then once you smash, you gotta let her know, like, I ain't no different from all these other niggas that you done let hit. So don't try to treat me like I gotta be the one to save you because I'm off going to school and I'm just working for the summer. Nah, bruh, you smash, you let her know, like, this all it is. She ain't gonna do nothing. She all that rah, rah, rah. Nah, don't fall for that, man, because all them other niggas hit and she ain't throw no hot grease on them, so don't let her think she gonna throw hot grease on you, nigga. And you can, so when you lay it down, you beat, you choke her, you know what I'm saying, you whisper Lotus Butterfly in her ear and you let her know This is all it is, man. This is all it is.
Did you say choker and whisper in their ear, dog?
Yeah, whisper Lotus Flower Bomb in their ear. The lyrics to that song.
Lotus Flower Bomb. Yo, this is why we needed to let this nigga answer this question.
I mean, that's just what happened. I mean, that relationship thing, like, come on, man. If she done bodied all them niggas, and she thinks, she looking at you like you the softy, and you gonna, you know, she think that you gotta wife her up to get it. No, bruh, don't fall for it. Mad niggas didn't hit, and ain't had a wife up, so you ain't got a wife up to hit. Smash. Keep it moving, bro. You going back to school anyway. Bojangles just a summer job. You know, if you throw hot grease on your nigga, you can get paid. You can get a settlement from the job. You know, and, you know, hey, man, don't worry about that. She ain't going to do that shit anyway. All this talk. So that's my advice from King Germ, man.
You heard my answer last week, Nick Wardamas. So, you know, hit us up in the forums and shoot us an email. Let us know what you decided to do and how that shit turned out for me. Yeah. For the rest of y'all, if y'all got questions that need to be on Real Nigga Quotes and need some real nigga answers, shoot us an email, nappyafro@gmail.com or nappyafromail@gmail.com. Shoot us an email, man. Leave us a question in the forums. We'll get to your question next week.
You can DM. You can send a DM on Twitter if you don't want your business out there in the street. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, hey, man, we're here to help you, man. You know, and it just don't have to be me to answer your question. You might need some real nigga advice from Saul Wright. You know what I'm saying? My advice might be a little too raw for you. You know what I'm saying? Or might not be what you want. You know, I might not have a lot of substance to it. You taught us all right. You taught to be easy. Whoever. You guys, listen, it's just not about me. You know what I'm saying? If you got a question for anybody in the Fro staff, let us know. We'll answer for you.
Yeah, it's a bunch of real niggas that work for us.
It's a lot of real niggas for us. I mean, we got a lot of real niggas, man. Architect, real nigga. Dub, real nigga. Even who else we got? H2O, real nigga. It's all right, real nigga. Beezy, real nigga. Got a lot of real niggas over here, man. That's what we do,
man. So send in the questions, man. And we got one more. We're going to wrap the show up. You know how we end the shows at this point, man. It's time for the Hit of Hell Nah for episode 35 of the Frocast, the Miami Heat Championship episode. I'm going to say that shit again. Miami Heat are the champions. Motherfuckers, this is a Hit of Hell Nah.
And now it's time for your Frocast, NappyAfro.com newest game show. Hit or Hell No. All you have to do is listen to the track, and at the end of the Frocast, post your comment, let us know your vote, let us know if you think it's a hit or a hell no. And now, this week's candidate.
Yo. Hey yo, Dem ain't lie. Tell Bop be the illest, man, I feel that fly. Made way through the game, yo, I'm still that guy. Pending words full of dope, go and feel that high. Like Coley, my Toley, depend that I. Grip Roley and Ozy, when let's spit lines and take no slow amateurs. We flow to damage ya. Your weak flow is Kimbo, so gannin' ya. Whole team in the spar session. Left, right in the ring is pure perfection. Question, really think there is a guard testing? Rap games, Malcolm Little, X and y'all presence. Message to all the spitters thinking y'all destined to be mentioned with the grace at the 4 seconds. Don't let the fame and the fans get you out of your league before you find yourself body like a Merlin MC.
Is it the lights, cameras? We'll never know, but regardless of fame, we still gonna flow when we still gonna rock and still kill a show. We do it for the love and not for the dough, you know? Is it the lights, cameras? We'll never know, but regardless of fame, we still gonna flow when we still gonna rock and still kill a show. We do it for the love and not for the dough, you know?
I gave you skill for your dollar bill. How I appeal like a value meal. See how you feel when the style is real. To sum it up, my style is uncut. We run trucks and trains from 6 to sun up. No DVD features, no smackle to come up. The kids spits raw. I'm on a quick draw. The fist spark will break your heart like Tim McGraw. Swift with the getaway. Like my first name was Teller. Lighting L up in a staircase any given day. I'm on the block, the Diddy Bop. The city pops hotter than a sauna. He been rocking since Biggie Drop. Blowing marijuana. Keeping the city hot from the plush suburbs to the burnt out shitty spots. I stayed on my grizzly. With my right hand, B-O, double T-I, we fly through the city. Hoping DJs give us leeway. The squad go hard on the mic, more flows than freeways. All this instant replay, nothing but cliche. They say the same shit that he say. Believe they wanna be Jay, Drake and Weezy. Knox, what's on the birth certificate? Consider it. If you rep yourself, then you always legitimate. My door been nice, I put the L on literate. Squad man, the boy's ridiculous.
Hit the lights, cameras, we'll never know. But regardless of fame, we still gonna flow. And we still gonna rock, we still kill a show. We do it for the love and not for the dough, you know. Is it the lights, cameras, we'll never know. But regardless of fame, we still gonna flow. And we still gonna rock and still kill a show. We do it for the love and not for the dough, you know.
That's this week's contestant, everybody. Make sure you leave your comment and your vote. Let us know if you think it's a hit or a hell no. And now, back to the crew. All
right, so what we just listened to was the Drop Squad. The song is Lights and Cameras. This is the bio. And just to let you know, we do read the bios when you send them to us. So motherfuckers that say, hey, I'm 12 years old and I'm from Baltimore and here's my song. Oh, we don't say shit else about that. So this is the bio for the Drop Squad. They're an American hip-hop group with ties to D.C., Maryland, Virginia, and North Carolina. DMV and North Carolina stand up. the duo consists of MCs Body and Madoa. Where did they get these names? But they met while serving in the military. After leaving the military, they decided to collaborate and be a group. And they released a mixtape, The Drop, featuring production from Odyssey, Best Kept Secret, and Cash. The Drop was praised for its flawless production and stunning lyricism. The Drop Squad is currently working on Madoa's solo project, Wit and Prelude to History, the 100th Monkey Theory, the follow-up to The Drop. What's, these niggas got some wild-ass names. But anyway, what did you think of
military,
the song, bro?
Man.
Yeah, they might have been motherfucking Marines or some shit.
Yeah, man. I mean, with the song, you know, I mean, I'm not one of those niggas that like the rappers, you know, but it was all right. I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, niggas get to rapping, you know, they don't be saying shit. They just be rapping, you know, and I just be sitting there like, okay, you know, yeah, boy, you know. But, you know, it was all right. I mean, you know, it definitely, you know, they have talent. You know, now, I mean, I'm not a bad song at all. I mean, they just some rappity rap niggas, and sometimes I just don't be feeling them rappity rap niggas. Like, I don't think if I heard this song at a concert, they would be moving the crowd because it's just like, they just rapping. But, you know, I definitely could see them doing something else, though. So, I mean, based off this song, you know, off the potential I see in them, I say it's a hit. You know, and it's like, you know, it's not a hell nah, but it ain't a hit, but, you know, it's not a hell nah, so.
You think it's a little too close to Talib or some shit like that, like it's a little too conscious?
Yeah. I definitely don't want my rappers conscious, no.
I personally think this is one of our best hit a hell nahs that we've done. But I'm into that kind of backpacky type shit. So
yeah. Saw Wright got a dirty book bag on. When you see him, Saw Wright, he got a book bag. He got a dirty JanSport on, man. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm into. So yeah, I mean, for me, the niggas is definitely a hit. I don't know what's up with all these names, but that, I mean, my name's Saw Wright, so what the fuck do I know?
But your name's not
Body of Madoa.
Yeah, Body of Madoa, and your project is not the 100th Monkey Theory.
You know that shit is. It's probably listen to that shit is gonna be completely over my head. But I'll definitely check for it when it comes out. So shout out to the Drop Squad. You know, make sure per usual, y'all know how this shit goes. And y'all seem to like this segment. This is one of the segments that y'all really seem to, you know, chime in and say something on. So, you know, leave your comments. Let us know what you think of the Drop Squad. You know, you can check them out. They got their webpage as the Drop Squad, I think. I'm not sure. But I think their webpage is Drop Squad, which they didn't include for some reason. But, you know, check them out. Get your Google on. Shit. You know, we just bringing you the music. You motherfuckers can search for the shit yourself. But yeah, shout out to the Drop Squad. Thanks for the drop. And next week, you know, we're talking about Frocast 36. This is what's going on. So basically sports is over. Next week we'll probably talk about the NBA draft. But like I said, after about the 20th pick, the draft doesn't really fucking matter. No one knows who all these cats are. there's no football. Baseball's on, but no one pays attention to baseball. Hockey's over. It's pretty much dead season for sports. Music hasn't been. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is that terrible season. That law. Oh God, it's bad.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's fucking horrible. Like, I don't even know what's the point of ESPN next week. There's not gonna be shit to talk about. They'll just be speculating on Tim Tebow probably for the next 3 or 4 months. And Brett Favre, who's apparently been popping back up for whatever reason. So there won't be shit going on. Music has been slow as shit. You know, we're getting a drop here, we're getting a video here, but there's nothing major going on in music either, which is why there hasn't been many music segments on the goddamn show. So next week, we're going to do a Fro Nation episode. And this is how it's going to work. You leave in the comments what you want us to talk about, or on Facebook. You know, hit us up on Facebook at Nappy Afro. Leave us topics that you want us to talk about. You know, and we'll take those topics and we'll have the show. If there's certain songs, or, you know, you want to say, debate what's a classic, and you want to debate this album, or this artist versus this artist, or whatever you want to talk about, Fro Nation, hit us up. Let us know what you want to talk about. Here's the catch. If you don't send us shit, or if we only get two topics, we're not having a fucking show. We're going to take the week off. We've done this shit every week. You know, we bring it to you. And like me and Jerm said before, you know, we need the feedback. So this is putting the feedback in motion. You give us feedback, what you want to talk about. This will be Fro Nation's episode. Episode 36 is all about appreciation for the fans and the people that are part of Fro Nation. I hate saying fans because that makes it seem like we're really major. And I ain't on that shit. But the people that are with Fro Nation, with NappyAfro.com, send us your suggestions. Send us your topics. Send us what you want us to talk about. Maybe you want us to do an all hit a hell no episode, and we'll just play 5 or 6 songs, and we'll just leave our comments about that. Whatever you want us to talk about, send it in.
Matter of fact, that's a good ass idea, sir. Right?
You want to do that instead? Hit a hell
no. Yeah, the hit a hell no show. Just like, fuck it. You know, just we're gonna put on all the music that we're gonna empty out the inbox. If it's like we'll pick, you know, 10 tracks, that'll be an hour show. You know. You know, 8 to 10 songs, and you know, hey, that's what we'll do.
So that's what it's gonna be. Y'all either give us the topics, or that's what we'll do. Those are your two options. Hit us up, and you can have the appreciation show, or hit us up, and you're gonna get a lot of music. And like we said, we go through and select shit, and I'll even do you one better. I'm gonna let Jerm pick the motherfucking songs. Now y'all heard what Jerm picks. Jerm likes to air motherfuckers out. So, if y'all want to hear a fucking hour episode of some music that's probably going to be bad, because that's what Jerm likes. He likes to expose bad motherfuckers, and we get a lot of bad music. Those are your choices. So, that's what we're going to do for episode 36. This has been episode 35. We appreciate King Jerm coming back in the fold, and work begins. You got any shout-outs, bro?
Man, you know, just shout out to, man, everybody out there in the nation, man. You know, I ain't singling nobody out this week, man. You know, shout out to my wife, man. You know, she came through in the clutch for your boy this week, man. So shout out to Queen Jern, man. You know, you looked out.
Shout out to the royal family. Shout out to Be Easy, who can't be here. He should be back next week. And, you know, there's some other niggas we trying to get on the Frocast. We tried to get our homie on here, but he couldn't get his headphone situation together. But Cornell the Great will be on the show sometime soon. I don't think we even have any music and no shit coming up for real. Like, I think that Chris Brown review, I end up doing that sometime next week. But other than that, man, it's slow season for everybody. So that's what we on. Send us your suggestions. You'll get that show for episode 36, or it'll be a hit or hell nah episode 36. I'm your man Saul Wright, aka the motherfucking champion, sitting here with King Jerm, aka the MVP of the Frocast, and we holler at you motherfuckers next week.
Peace.
LeBron James caps off an MVP regular season with a magnificent playoff run and an extraordinary performance in the finals. No doubt he'll be named the finals MVP. We'll get it official coming up in a little bit as the shot clock is turned off. The Miami Heat are once again NBA champions. LeBron James captures that elusive title he so desperately coveted.
Kiss the rings, bitch.
NappyAfro.com